Hello and welcome to the Heat Check Sim Show with your host, The Real Sim Shady. We have a very special episode today as we're going to reveal the Season 3 NCAA Tournament Bracket. First, I wanted to give a big thanks to Heat Check Denver's head coach as this was actually his idea to put together a bracket reveal episode. I saw that idea come through on Twitter, thought it was a great idea. Happy that we've been able to make this possible, and I hope that we can continue to make this possible moving into future seasons. Additionally, thank you to the architect of the simulation, Eli Bedker, for working with me to make this possible, not only logistically, making sure that the conference tournament results get released early so that you guys can kind of understand where you stand before listening to this episode, but also with working with me to get me the bracket early with recording this episode and everything. It's been fun, and I hope we can continue to do this in the future. So without further ado, let's get into it. We've got March Madness in October. Now I want to welcome in a very special guest for this March Madness episode for Season 3. Welcome to the show, architect Eli Bedker.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, and this is, like I've mentioned before, but this was a great idea. I think it was the head coach of Denver's idea to put together this reveal episode, and I really like the idea. I'm glad we've been able to make it work and kind of run with that idea. I'm hoping this is something we can continue to do on a season by season basis, but for this first episode, I'm really excited to see how it kind of works out and excited to get it out to everyone.
Yeah, this is a really cool way to bring the sim to life once again and trying some new things here, but should be fun for the listeners to hear in where their team is picked, if it is picked, and which teams they'll go up against in the Season 3 bracket.
Definitely. So, yeah, just as, just an outline of what's to come, we're going to mention a little bit just on the teams that are kind of on the bubble going into this bracket reveal. We're also going to – so then we're going to go into the actual bracket. We're going to let you know exactly, who's playing who made the tournament. And then we're going to provide a little bit of analysis about the bracket, how the different conferences fared, which conferences got multiple bids, things like that, which regions are tough, what matchups look good, things like that. So should be a lot of great information, and I'm excited to get started. So let's get started with some teams that you can kind of look out for that were on the bubble coming into conference tournament play. So this list that I've pulled is the list that Fake Joe Lenardi posted as his latest bracketology on Twitter. So again, this is prior to the conference tournament play, but this should give you a good idea of the teams that were fighting for position in the NCAA tournament during those conference games, and then we'll give you an idea of which teams made it, which teams didn't. But so the first four in, according to or the first four in with no play in, according to Fake Joe, were California, Creighton, Georgia, and Washington. So those were the four teams that were the last ones that didn't or that received a bye, meaning they didn't have to play in those first four matchups. The last four in that, according to Fake Joe, would have to play in those first four matchups were Georgia Tech, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and Seton Hall. And then the first eight out were Ohio State, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Arkansas, St. John's, San Diego State, San Diego, and South Carolina. So, it's gonna be fun to see. I know I've seen some of these teams talking about how nervous they are for to hear their names or not hear their names being called. I'm sure most of these teams, I would assume most of these teams, if they don't get to this or hear their name in this episode, they're gonna see their name in the NIT bracket, but. I know everyone's hoping for good results. So, let's move into the bracket reveal. At this point, I'm going to let Eli reveal the teams and in matchups, and we're going to start with the number one overall seeds for the Season 3 March Madness bracket.
Yeah, so at the number one overall seed for the Season 3 bracket, we have Villanova out of the Big East. Just really powered through the regular season. Did an excellent job with the number one strength of record. They will be the number one seed. Florida, also a number one seed out of the SEC. They put together a fantastic recruiting class heading into this year. They will be in the South. And North Carolina is the consistent team throughout the year, number one in all the rankings. They're also a number one seed. And then rounding off that top line, we have Duke, the second team out of the ACC on the number one line.
Yeah, so just some notable items about these teams. Like you said, these are all fantastic teams. They all had really strong seasons. And so starting off with your number one overall seed, Villanova out of the East region. They finished the regular season play with a 26-2 record, 15-1 in conference play. They did win their conference tournament. And I mean, this is a team that started the season as the number six preseason team. So it's not much of a surprise to see them snag this top spot, but they had a really strong year. They finished 5-1 against teams. Their only loss against a ranked team was against UConn, who was ranked number three at the time. And then their other loss was a home game actually against Creighton, and they fell by five. But they also beat Florida, who again is a one seed as well. They beat Florida by five earlier in the year. They have two wins against Butler. They beat Michigan State. So this is a team that has some really high quality victories and just two blemishes on their season. They're led by senior small forward Ray Williams. He's a 16.5 overall. He averages just over 18 points a game. And then their second leading scorer is Alton Luer, who is a junior point guard, averaging just about 17 points a game. Going into Florida, the second number one seed, they are the one seed for the South region. Their record was 25-3 in regular season play. They finished 15-1 in conference. They also finished up business and won their conference tournament. And they had a strength of roster of number two coming into the season. They were 5-2 against ranked teams. They did lose to Villanova, as we just mentioned, but they have a ton of great wins. They also beat Butler. They beat Minnesota. They beat Green Bay. They beat Kentucky. They beat Mississippi. So this is a team that, again, has a ton of quality. This is also a team that Fig Gilanardi picked to win it all in the preseason. So, again, no surprise to see them finish the season with a one seed. They are led by the preseason player of the year, according to Fig Gilanardi, Kelvin Middleton, who is an 18.1 overall. He averages just about 19 points and five rebounds a game. He's a senior. He really can do it all for Florida. But not only that, they're led by four seniors. They've got two juniors and two sophomores. So this is a team with a ton of experience. And I really think this will be a team that can use that experience to their advantage. This is a really, really sound Florida team. One notable loss they have is against Miami of Florida, who is at Miami of Florida has actually played the other two number one seeds as well. They've played North Carolina and Duke, so that's going to be a really well-tested team. But moving into that third one seed is North Carolina. They're the one seed for the Midwest region. They finished 24-4 in the regular season, 12-4 in conference play. They did win their conference tournament, knocking off Virginia in the championship game. They had the number one strength of roster. They were number one preseason, and they finished 6-3 against ranked teams, beating the likes of St. Joe's, Utah, Miami, Florida, Virginia, Pittsburgh twice. So, again, really quality wins from this team. This is a team that, as we mentioned, the number one strength of roster. The worst player on their roster is a freshman with an overall rating of 14.8. But they're led by their sophomore power forward, Brooks Bennett, who's averaging 19 points and five rebounds a game. This is just a really well-balanced team. They've got four freshmen, so they're a little inexperienced if you really want to pick at what might be their flaw. But again, this is a really solid team. They should be picked by a lot of people to win this tournament. And then the fourth number one seed is out of the West region, or they're gonna be the one seed in the West region is Duke, and they finished with a record of 26-2 in the regular season, 15-1 in conference play. They did not win the conference tournament, so they received an at-large bid. So the only one seed that did not or win their conference tournament, they have a strength of roster of three, and they were 7-2 against ranked teams, including two wins against North Carolina, another one seed. So they're battle tested. They've played a ton of ranked teams. They've done really well. They've beaten Indiana, they beat Miami of Florida, they beat Virginia, they beat Louisville twice. Yeah, this is just a really solid team. They have they're led by a senior center, Sam Steele, who is a perfect 10 rating on offense, 17.8 overall, but he averages 20 points and 8 rebounds a game. So he's going to be the guy that kind of gets this team going. And again, they've got two seniors, they've got two freshmen. They're well balanced. This is a really dangerous team. So I think overall, a really strong group of one seeds. I don't think you can really pick at any of these teams. I think the bracket committee got it right with the one seeds this year.
Yeah, it's a really strong group, and we'll see what each of these one seeds have done. They've been pretty successful in the past in recent brackets, so we could very well see the season three champion among those four teams.
Definitely. So going into, let's get into first starting off with the East region. Let's get into the different matchups within the bracket. So I'm going to again pass it over to Eli to announce the matchups within this bracket.
So we'll start with the number one overall seed, Villanova, out of the East region. They will be in Buffalo, and they will take on the winner against Brown or Central Connecticut as 16 seeds. And then the winner of that game will play number 8 seed Arizona State or number 19 out of Vanderbilt. Moving down the bracket, we have 5 seed St. Joe's out of the Atlantic 10, and they will play the OVC champion Eastern Kentucky, a 12 seed. In the 4-13 matchup, we have an at-large in Illinois out of the Big Ten and 13 seed the Big South auto bid Radford. Moving into more games in Buffalo, number 6 seed Pittsburgh out of the ACC, and they will play the winner of a first four matchup between St. John's out of the Big East and the Washington Huskies out of the Pac-12. And then in the other side of that pod, we have number 3 seed Connecticut, and they will play the winner of Patriot League champion Army. Moving into the final pod of the East region in Indianapolis, number 7 seed Kentucky will take on number 10 Creighton, another at-large team. And in the opposite matchup there, we have number 2 seed Louisville and number 15 Albany, the winner of the America East.
Yeah, this is a fantastic region. I was blown away when I saw this region. This is a really tough region. I'll get into that in a second. But just going down a couple notable things about the matchups that have just been revealed. Starting with the 8-9 matchup, Arizona State and Vanderbilt. This is going to be a really fun matchup between two at-large schools from power conferences across the country. These are both top 40 teams in terms of strength of roster. Again, this is a typical 8-9 matchup where you're going to be able to flip a coin. Moving into that 5-12 matchup with St. Joe's versus Eastern Kentucky. These are two mid-majors, so it's awesome to see St. Joe's earn that 5 seed that kind of people were predicting for them going into the season. And they're going to get a tough matchup with Eastern Kentucky. I think this will be another 5-12 matchup that lives up to the hype. The 4-13 matchup is one that I'm really looking forward to. I actually think we're going to see an upset. I think Radford is going to knock off Illinois. So if I had to predict my first upset of the tournament, that would be it. Radford came into the season with the 51st ranked strength of roster, which is actually better than the 12 seed Eastern Kentucky. So Illinois didn't get a great draw here, and I think Radford's going to be able to get the job done. And that 6 seed is Pittsburgh, and I'm telling you, this is a incredibly tough 6 seed. They're went into the season in strength of roster at number 11. So as a 6 seed, that's incredibly an incredibly tough 6 seed. So you've really got to feel for the number 2 and 3 seeds in this region, as they might have to face Pittsburgh going in. But they're going to see the winner of that St. John's Washington game. Again, those were two bubble teams, so those are two of the first bubble teams that we've heard come off the board. So if you're one of those bubble teams, you've heard these two come off the board. There's fewer spots remaining for you at this point. Connecticut is a 3 seed. They get Army. This is another incredibly tough 3 seed. They went into the season with the fifth best roster in the country. So to get a 3 seed, a little bit disappointing of a season for Connecticut in that way, but they're going to be able to do some damage, and they could make a real run at this thing. The 7-10 matchup, Kentucky and Creighton. Creighton was another one of those bubble teams. So we've seen three bubble teams come off in the first region. But Kentucky, as a 7 seed, again, they had the 12th best strength of roster coming into the season. So again, disappointing season for them, but maybe they've found their groove. Maybe they can get it going for the NCAA tournament. And then can you even imagine that Kentucky Louisville matchup that's possible in round two in Indianapolis? That would be a great matchup. Love to see the rivalry. Louisville, again, one of the ninth toughest or the ninth strongest roster in the country. So they have a tough schedule ahead potentially with, 12th toughest schedule or toughest roster in Kentucky, the 11th toughest roster in Pittsburgh is that sixth seed, and the fifth toughest is Connecticut, like we said. So incredibly tough region. This one will be one to keep your eye on because there are really four or five teams that could potentially win the whole thing coming from this region. So moving,
Yeah, it's
oh yeah,
a.
go for it.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, it's as you mentioned, it's a really strong region. I think it's made up of a number of teams that are strong on paper that have had a little bit of disappointing in terms of expectations heading into this season. But as you mentioned, should be a really strong region.
Definitely. Yeah, again, the seeding is reflective of their performance during the season. So like you said, disappointing seasons to some degree, but they have the talent on paper to get it done come tournament time. So it'll be interesting to see that one play out. Moving into the West region, let's see what the matchups are here.
Yeah, so we do have Duke as the number one seed out of the West. They will take on the Big West winner in Cal State Fullerton. These games will be played in Greensboro, North Carolina. And the winner of that matchup will take on an at-large matchup between VCU and Loyola Marymount and some mid-major flavor there. Heading down the bracket, games in Sacramento, we have Minnesota out of the Big Ten, and they will take on the MAC winner Western Michigan, a 12 seed. We also have four seed Texas, an at-large team, and they will play the Mountain West auto bid winner, number 13 seeded Utah State. Games in Orlando, the 6-11 matchup will be between Michigan and California. Both teams are at-larges. And then the winner of that game will take on the winner of number 3 seed Mississippi, taking on the Big Sky champion Portland State. Games in Salt Lake City, we have number 7 seed Old Dominion, the Conference USA tournament winner, and they will play an at-large out of the Missouri Valley in number 10 seed Valparaiso. And then in that 2-15 matchup, number 2 seed is Utah, the Pac-12 winner, and the 15 seed is Grand Canyon, the WAC champion.
Yeah, this is a great region too. I'm not going to spend as much time on this one just because doesn't have quite the same toughness at the top, but I'll mention some interesting things about this region. You've got the 8-9 matchup is about as even as it gets. VCU is 54th in strength of roster coming into the season, and Marymount was 56th. So literally flip a coin. It's going to be tough to predict this matchup. Again, the 5-12 matchup should be fun as always. Western Michigan gets into the dance this year. They get Minnesota from the Big Ten, so that'll be a great matchup. And then California is the 11 seed. They were one of those bubble teams. So again, that's another bubble team that makes it into the tournament. We're narrowing our list of potential spots for those remaining bubble teams. Portland State as a 14 seed. This is a surprisingly tough 14 seed. They are 109th in strength of roster, and that's better than the 13 seed Utah State in the same region. So not a great draw for Mississippi. I would still assume that Mississippi will be able to, take care of business and see the winner of that Michigan Cal matchup, like you mentioned. And then the thing that's great about this conference, or what's interesting about this conference, is Utah gets the 2 seed in the West, and like you mentioned, Duke is the 1 seed. So if those two teams both advance to the Elite Eight and face off there, could be a huge advantage for Utah playing in San Jose. Duke's got to fly across the country. Utah, much shorter trip. There could be a significant following of Utah Utes fans there. So that'll be an interesting thing to look out for. Their first couple games are in Salt Lake City as well. So Utah's got a pretty cushy road to potentially the Final Four in terms of where they have to play.
Yeah, and then a couple more notes here on this bracket. What I do like to see is you have number 8 seed VCU and number 9 Loyola Marymount. There's some good mid-major flavor there. And then the also 7-10 matchup, Old Dominion against Valparaiso. So you have four seed lines that are all occupied by teams outside of the power conferences.
Definitely, yeah, and that guarantees that we're going to see two of those teams advance and face off against, most likely Duke and Utah respectively. So those mid-major teams will have an opportunity to take on some of those power conference teams. Moving on to the South region. Take it from there.
Yeah, we have number one seed Florida, and they will take on number 16 William and Mary, the Colonial Athletic winner. The winner of that matchup will take on 8 versus 9. We have 8 seed Miami taking on number 9 seed Iowa out of the Big Ten. And then moving down to Tulsa games, a 5-12 matchup, we have Virginia taking on number 12 seed North Dakota State, the Summit champion. The number 4 out of Tulsa is Kansas, the Big 12 champion, and they will take on 13 seed VMI, the SoCon winner. Games in Milwaukee, the 6-11 matchup out of the Pac-12, we have UCLA, and they will take on number 11 seed Illinois State, and at large out of the Missouri Valley. Number 3, playing in their home state, is Green Bay, and they will take on the Sun Belt champion Georgia Southern. And then games in Indianapolis, we have number 7 seed Kansas State, and they will battle against number 10 seed Clemson out of the ACC. And then the 2 seed in this region is Michigan State, and they will be taking on number 15 seeded Quinnipiac out of the NAAC.
Yeah, this region, the intrigue really is at the top of this region. So you've got Florida, who's, again, one of those teams that's a lot of people's favorite to win the national championship coming into the season. They earn that one seed. They get to play in Orlando the first two games. And the thing that's interesting is what could potentially be around the corner for them in that second round matchup. Miami of Florida got the 8 seed, and Miami of Florida knocked off Florida during the regular season 62 to 61. We could see that matchup again. I know Florida has got to be chomping at the bit to try to, get back at Miami for that regular season matchup. Miami also was able to pull off a somewhat Cinderella Sweet 16 run last year as a 12 seed. I believe they were a last four team in. So that's a team that has some experience. They got a better seed this year, and they're looking forward to making more noise. But their matchup is tough. Iowa's the 9 seed that they face off in the first round. They came into the season with the 23rd best roster in the country. They've played in the extremely tough Big Ten, so that's a really tough team. They're battle tested. They're not going to be anything for Miami to roll over. And I know people are going to be looking forward to that Miami Florida matchup, but we may not even get to that point with Iowa being their first matchup. 5-12 matchup. I'm actually expecting Virginia to roll in this one. North Dakota State's had a really good year. They earned that automatic bid, winning the really wide open Summit League conference tournament. And but I just think Virginia's going to be too much for them to handle this year. But I mean, we'll see. Sometimes that 5-12 matchup can provide some magic. Kansas earns the 4 seed. It's a really tough 4 seed out of the Big 12. So they could potentially challenge Florida as well. So not an easy road for Florida to get to the Elite Eight. And then Illinois State earns an at-large bid from the Missouri Valley Conference. So that's interesting. Missouri Valley's got at least two teams now, it looks like. And they're going to face off with the 6 seed UCLA out of the Pac-12. And then Green Bay, the Horizon automatic bid winner. They won their conference tournament. But they earn a 3 seed. So it's great to see the Horizon with a team that earns a bid that high. I know they had great expectations coming into the season. I believe they were 24th ranked coming into the season, and they even exceeded those expectations by earning a 3 seed. I know they played a tough non-conference schedule, and that definitely played in their favor for in the eyes of the selection committee. The 7-10 matchup, Kansas State and Clemson, another great matchup. Again, flip a coin here. The winner is going to play most likely Michigan State. So,
Yeah, this is it's an intriguing region. I think all eyes for this one will be looking at Green Bay, as you mentioned. They get to play in their home state of Wisconsin, and there's really no telling how much this team can accomplish. And I think the bracket, if you take a look at what the other regions we've seen so far, I think Green Bay got a pretty favorable draw and could do some
yeah,
damage.
definitely agree. Like you said, playing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for the first two matchups, and then potentially they could see Indiana or Michigan State, sorry, in Memphis. So that again, I would be really excited to see what Green Bay can do as a 3 seed. It'd be really fun to see them make some noise. Moving into the Midwest region.
Yeah, we have number one seed North Carolina, the ACC champion, and they will play that second 16 seed play-in game between Grambling State and Kennesaw State. The 8-9 matchup in Greensboro will be Oregon out of the Pac-12 and the WCC winner, a number 9 seed, San Diego. Games in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we have number 5 seed, Missouri, and they will take on the winner between UNLV and Notre Dame in a first four matchup. The 4-13 out of the Milwaukee pod is Indiana out of the Big Ten and Delaware State out of the MEAC. Moving down in Tulsa, we have number 6 seed Butler, and they will take on an in-state rival and number 11 Purdue out of the Big Ten. The 3 seed out of Tulsa is Texas Tech, and they will play the Missouri Valley champion and number 14 seed in Northern Iowa. Down at number 7, games to be played in Sacramento, we have the Temple Owls out of the American, and they will play number 10 seed Georgia out of the SEC. And then the 2 seed is Arizona, and they will play 15 seeded New Orleans out of the Southland Conference.
Yeah, this is a great region as well. The first thing I want to mention is actually that matchup between 16 seeds. The winner, again, like you said, is going to play North Carolina. It's between Grambling State and Kennesaw State. I'm guessing that the majority of the listeners have not paid super close attention to what's going on within the Atlantic Sun this year, but Kennesaw State finished 8th out of 9 teams in the Atlantic Sun in the regular season, and then they went on this crazy run and won the Atlantic Sun tournament as the 8th seed. Kennesaw State has the 344th strength of roster in the country, so basically a bottom 10 team, but they got hot at just the right time, pulled off some upsets. Next thing you know, they find themselves a win away from playing the number one toughest team in the country, North Carolina, on paper at least. So they've gone on an incredible run. It'd be awesome to see them, you know, hopefully beat Grambling State. Just, you know, as an Atlantic Sun coach myself, I'm obviously rooting for Kennesaw State there. But that matchup against North Carolina would be a little top heavy. Going into that 8-9 matchup, Oregon-San Diego, that's a fantastic matchup. San Diego, they were another bubble team, but they earned their bid by winning their conference tournament. So we'll look at, you know, who they might have knocked out of the tournament briefly, shortly. But San Diego earns the 9, and they face off with Oregon, a tough matchup for San Diego. Should be a coin flip matchup, as always, for the 8-9s. UNLV and Notre Dame face off in that first four matchup. Those again are two bubble teams. They will face Missouri. The winner of that game will face Missouri. So I think either one of those teams could pull an upset against Missouri. That'll be a fun matchup as well. And then Indiana earns a 4 seed. They won their conference tournament in the Big Ten, which is no small feat. They had the 8th toughest or 8th strongest roster in the country coming into the season. So a little disappointing to earn only a 4 seed, but they are going to be really dangerous. That's a team I'm sure North Carolina does not want to face in the Sweet 16. Butler and Purdue, the 6-11 matchup. This might be the matchup to watch in the first round. It might be the best matchup. Purdue made it to the national championship last year. They only earned an 11 seed this year, but they have the 28th toughest roster in the country. So Butler can't be too pleased with their draw. They had the 19th strongest roster. So again, this is a really tough matchup. And really who this is unfortunate for is Texas Tech, who earned the 3 seed. Texas Tech cannot be pleased that the winner of that game is going to be their second round matchup should they beat Missouri Valley champion Northern Iowa. So that Northern Iowa team is the 3rd Missouri Valley Conference team to make it. They did the conference as a whole some favors by pulling off some upsets and winning the conference tournament, enabling the other two teams, Valparaiso and Illinois State, to also make it as at-large teams. So 3 teams from Missouri Valley. Georgia was another bubble team that is on the right side of the bubble. They are in the 10 seed. They'll face off against Temple. Give me Georgia in this game. It's a minor upset in terms of seed lines, but I actually think they'll be favored going into this game. And they'll most likely face off against Arizona, although New Orleans-Arizona's matchup is by far the best 15 seed. They have the 72nd toughest or strongest roster this season. So this is a game Arizona should win. They'll be pretty heavy favorites, but this is not a team they should sleep on. Otherwise, we could see another Dunk City 15 seed type upset in the first round here.
Yeah, it's a deep region. There are a lot of quality teams in this, but when you look at number 10 seed Georgia, number 11 seed Purdue, and I mean, even if you want to go to the 12 seeds, which would either be UNLV and Notre Dame, there's a lot of talent that's right there on paper, and there are teams that have had success. Georgia was ranked earlier in the season. Purdue is a defending Final Four team. So there is a lot of strength in some of those double-digit seeds out of this region.
Definitely. So now that we've announced all 68 teams as well as their matchups, let's briefly look at the bubble. Again, according to Fig, Joe, and Nardi, leading into conference tournaments, which teams made it, which teams did not. So the last four in with no play-in game, according to Fig, Joe, were Cal, Creighton, Georgia, and Washington, and all four of those teams made the tournament as at-large teams. So none of those teams punched their ticket via their conference tournament, but they were still on the right side of the bubble. Of Fig Joe's last four in, only Notre Dame made it as an at-large. Georgia Tech, Wisconsin, and Seton Hall unfortunately did not hear their name called this year. They will likely be top one or two seeds in the NIT bracket, which will come out shortly as well. And then of the first eight out, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Arkansas, San Diego State, and South Carolina unfortunately did not hear their names. St. John's earns an at-large bid, and San Diego punched their ticket in their conference tournament. They were a bubble team. They didn't have to sweat coming into this episode. They earned their ticket and honestly probably pushed out a team like Georgia Tech or Wisconsin or Seton Hall. So, those coaches can look at San Diego as, that's what you got to do. If you want to be on the right side of the bubble, there's nothing better to do but just to punch your ticket in the conference tournament.
Yeah, there's a lot of quality teams that we won't see in this bracket. I think some teams that we've had previous success with in recent seasons, Wisconsin, of course, has been dominant up until season three, being more of a bubble team. Seton Hall is also there as well. But I think the big storyline here is the SEC. When you lose out on Texas A&M, Tennessee, Arkansas, and
Oof.
South Carolina, all of whom were bubble teams heading into this, none of those four teams got bids. And it's a credit to the competitive nature out of the SEC, but when it's said and done, it's a lot of teams that are beating up on each other, so you don't necessarily get a ton of wins out of this conference, but it is a credit to a team like Georgia, which was able to
Yeah,
sneak in.
like you said, that's just a really tough conference. So it's tough to see a lot of those teams just miss out. I will mention again, Ohio State was one of those teams that just missed out last year, and they find themselves on the wrong side again this year. But they did win the NIT tournament last year, and so it's a little surprising that the tournament committee didn't see that success last year and kind of give them the benefit of the doubt this year. I know it's a separate season, but when you make a statement like that and you win the NIT, you kind of feel like you deserve the chance to at least play in March Madness. Unfortunately, they find themselves on the wrong side of the bubble once again this year. But maybe they can repeat their NIT magic once again. So, as a quick summary, the first four matchups in terms of the last four teams that made it in, St. John's will play Washington and UNLV will play Notre Dame. So, those are the last four teams that made it into the tournament. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to those matchups. I think it seems like, every year you'll see a team come out of these first four matchups. And actually, win another game in the bracket as well, or two. So last year we saw Miami of Florida make it to the Sweet 16. So definitely don't sleep on any of these teams to potentially be a Cinderella going into the rest of the tournament as well.
Yeah, that's a good storyline that will be worth monitoring. And I think Washington has, I mean, they've tailed off a bit at the end of the season, but they have Jordan Thompson, who is a phenomenal player in his own right. But both of these matchups, it's not as if they're playing any easy teams in that first round. The winner of the St. John's Washington matchup will face off against potentially one of the top 10, 15 teams in the nation in Pittsburgh that really defends quite well. And then over on the opposite side, the 12 seeds, you have UNLV and Notre Dame, and they're facing a team out of the SEC in Missouri, which, as we referenced earlier, that's a league that's just really been competitive this season. They have a lot of quality talent in that league. So those should be pretty tough matchups for whoever comes out of those first
Definitely.
four games.
So going into a little bit of conference breakdowns, everyone's always curious to hear, which conferences earned multiple bids. We mentioned the Missouri Valley as one of those mid-major conferences that got multiple bids. But let's do a brief rundown of the teams that, or the conferences that earned multiple bids this year. Eli, do you want to kind of give those numbers really quick, and then I can add some color there.
Sure. So we'll start things off with the ACC. They have a nationwide high of 8 bids, several teams that are looking like potential candidates for the national title. And this includes North Carolina and Duke, both as one seeds, and also Louisville as a two seed. So that's a conference that did some great things this year. Pac-12 and Big Ten both have 7 bids total. SEC has 6 bids. Big 12 and Big East are both checking in with 4 teams apiece. The Missouri Valley has 3 teams, and then the Mountain West, WCC, American, and Atlantic 10 all have 2 teams
Yeah,
in the bracket.
so starting with the ACC, like you said, there's a bunch of teams right at the top of this conference that could potentially win the whole thing. You got North Carolina, Duke, those one seeds. Louisville's a two. Pittsburgh is a really, really tough 6 seed. Virginia's a 5. This is a really stacked conference. But then you also got a first four team, in as Notre Dame falls on the right side of the bubble there. So, tough conference. They got 8 of their 14, or 8 of their teams in. Again, it's tough to be in the ACE or ACC, but I mean, if you can battle through and get some of those wins in your big opportunities, you're going to find yourself on the right side of the bubble more times than not. Pac-12 against 7 teams, it's a really strong conference. You're primarily looking at Arizona and Utah as the two real contenders there. The Big Ten, again, seven teams getting in from them. This was the conference that was really wide open coming into the season. We didn't know who was going to take this conference. Ultimately, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams with top 5 seeds. So no one seeds from the Big Ten this year. That Michigan State earns a 2. Illinois and Indiana get 4 seeds. Minnesota with a 5, and then Michigan even got a 6. So just a lot of high quality teams at the top of this conference. I'm not sure outside of Michigan State if any of these teams are real championship contenders. But they certainly could make a lot of noise in this tournament. From the SEC, we have 6 teams, like you mentioned. Not only that, but you just mentioned the 4 teams that just missed out from on the tournament from the SEC. So that's 10 of 14 teams essentially that were really right there in terms of trying to make the tournament. Florida's the main team that everyone's going to be watching this year in the tournament, but Mississippi's really dangerous. Kentucky's really dangerous. Missouri's really dangerous. Georgia is on the right side of the bubble. And Vanderbilt's a solid 9 seed as well. So that's a fun conference to watch how they perform. The Big 12 gets 4. Maybe a little disappointing for them this year. They don't have any 1 or 2 seeds. Texas Tech earns a 3, and Kansas and Texas both earn 4 seeds from the Big 12. The Big East gets the overall number one seed, Villanova. They get 4 teams. The other 3 being Butler, Creighton, and St. John's. St. John's and Creighton were both bubble teams that found themselves on the right side of the bubble despite being in a conference that only got 4 teams in. So some of those SEC teams might be, wondering why they didn't get their name called over a team like Creighton or St. John's. But ultimately, Big East got 4 teams. Creighton was one of those teams that beat Villanova, so they certainly deserved to get in my opinion. The Missouri Valley gets 3 bids. Like we mentioned, they're the mid-major conference with the most bids. So outside of those Power Six, the Missouri Valley really comes through this year. Illinois State, Northern Iowa, and Valparaiso all get into the tournament after Northern Iowa earned the automatic bid there. The Mountain West, UNLV, and Utah State are the two teams that made it there. The WCC, Loyola Marymount, and San Diego. The American Connecticut, who's a really tough team, they could make a lot of noise in this tournament. They earned a 3 seed, and then Temple made it as well as a 7 seed. And then from the Atlantic 10, St. Joe's earned a 5 seed, and VCU is an 8 seed this year.
Yeah, there are several leagues that I think are pretty intriguing here, but I always like to look at the mid-major teams, and especially with how the past two brackets have gone, Missouri Valley getting 3 teams in, knowing the damage that they've been able to do. We've seen Bradley advance in this tournament in the past. We've seen Northern Iowa advance in this tournament in the past, and the Missouri Valley now having 3 teams, that can be pretty scary. And also the WCC, even in a year where Gonzaga's down, for it to still be a multi-bid league. with teams like Loyola Marymount and San Diego. I think that's a pretty
Yeah,
fascinating
no
storyline as
Gonzaga, no
well.
St. Mary's. WCC still gets 2 9 seeds, like you mentioned, Marymount and San Diego. Marymount's one of those teams that's been one of the most improved teams in the simulation over the course of the 3 seasons. So it's fun to see them get in and see if they can get a matchup with that one seed in the second round. Let's do some quick region breakdowns. So, like I mentioned, kind of after you announced it, in my opinion, this East region with Villanova as the one seed, just on paper at least, is by far the toughest region. And so I guess what that tells me is it's full of teams at the top that kind of underachieved this season. They didn't earn the seeds that they were hoping for this season. But you've got Villanova was the actually the sixth ranked team coming into the season, which is behind Connecticut, who is fifth, and Connecticut's the 3 seed in this region. Louisville's the 2 seed with strength of roster of 9, and then the 5 seed is St. Joe with 14. Pittsburgh, again, as we mentioned, is 11th ranked strength of roster, and Kentucky's 12th as the 7 seed. So this region, just really tough at the top there, especially if you're the 2 seed where you could potentially have to play the 3 or the 6 seed. They're probably gonna have to play the 7 seed, and then you'd also have to play the 1 seed at the end of the region. So that, I mean, they have a really tough path. Louisville cannot be pleased, but I mean, like I said, these are all teams that underachieve. So potentially they're those teams that are strong on paper, but just not, they just don't have the chemistry to get it done.
Yeah, that's even the case for some of the double-digit seeds as well. Radford's a 13 seed, and they're widely viewed as a top 50 team in their own right, and had a really good regular season as well. And then you also feature a play-in game here, potentially either St. John's or Washington could make things interesting. So, I mean, Villanova, they are on paper the weakest in terms of roster of all the one seeds, but when you look at some of the other teams in this bracket. I think that you could pinpoint a number of teams that could come out of this region. So it's interesting how this region lays out. I mean, as we know, Villanova has been completely dominant throughout the whole season, winning several games by double digits, but it's not going to be easy for them to get out of this region unscathed with all of the other
Definitely, yeah,
competitors in
definitely
it.
looking forward. I think this is going to be the region with all eyes on it. There's going to be a lot of there are a lot of championship hopeful teams in this region, so it'll be a fun one to watch. Moving on to the Midwest region, this is a region that actually probably has the toughest top 4 seeds. So North Carolina has the number one strength of roster in the country. Arizona's the 2 seed. They have the number 4 strength of roster. Texas Tech, the 3 seed, 17th in strength of roster, but Indiana, as the 4 seed, is 8th. So that's 4 teams that all were basically in the top 17 in strength of roster. So that's a really tough, top of this region. You still got a lot of quality talent behind that with Missouri and Butler, both, right around the top 20 in strength of roster. It falls off a little bit after that, but Temple's a solid team. Oregon's right around the top 40, and Georgia as the 10 seed is in the top 40 in strength of roster. And like I said, Purdue as the 11 seed, 28th. So, I mean, this region is full of, quality teams. It's not quite as top heavy in terms of, having the top 7 seeds be as tough as the East region, but I mean, this region goes really deep. Even the 12 seeds, UNLV, Notre Dame, 47th and 59th respectively in strength of roster. So this is a quality conference as well. North Carolina and Arizona, it's not going to be easy for them to get through, but I would expect that they both meet up in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I think that they're definitely going to be the favorites out of this region, and I think Texas Tech got a bit of a tough draw here, having to either play Butler or Purdue should they advance. The Red Raiders, they nearly ran the table in the Big 12, and they were only credited with the 3 seed, so that's a bit of a tough draw. And then if you look at some of the deeper teams in this region, I really like Delaware State's chances as a 13 seed. They have the best defense in the nation in terms of points per game allowed, so that will not make things too easy on Indiana. And then you do have some of those fascinating first four teams once again, UNLV and Notre Dame. I think both of those teams are capable of pulling off an upset. And as we see across the board, a lot of these 5-12 matchups are fairly evenly spaced out, and we know how crazy those can
Definitely.
get at
Yeah, this
times.
will be another fun region to watch going forward. And then in the South region, this is the one where we're focused on Florida as the one seed. Miami of Florida is the eight seed. So a lot of people are hoping for that second round matchup. I personally am actually going to pick Iowa to win that game against Miami, Florida, and kind of ruin that second round matchup that everyone's hoping for. I just think Iowa's too battle tested in the Big Ten. I know Miami, Florida's got a ton of quality matchups with top teams too, but they were able to sneak out a win against Florida, but they got kind of pummeled in some of their other games against really quality opponents, which is why you're going to see them as an eight seed. Iowa as a nine seed probably underachieved a little bit, but they've got more talent on paper than Miami, Florida, and I think they're going to give Florida a tough time in the second round as well. This is also the region, again, as a reminder, that Green Bay earned the three seed out of the Horizon. I know the Horizon League has to just be really excited to see a team seeded as high as Green Bay has earned this year. It's a really good thing for the conference. Green Bay's got six seniors on their team, so this is really their year to make some noise in the tournament. And really, I think the sky's the limit for Green Bay this year.
Yeah, I think the two teams that I'm watching here are this one is Florida and Green Bay. I think Florida's looking to redeem themselves from what happened a season ago in terms of how the bracket folded out. And of course, Green Bay, as you mentioned, really strong mid-major. Those two teams played earlier this season, and Florida came out with rather dominant fashion. So if those two teams could meet again in the Elite Eight, I think that'd be a pretty
Definitely, yeah.
intriguing matchup.
I would love to see that matchup play out for sure. Moving to the West region, this is again, so Duke, they earned the one seed, but because they weren't able to finish the deal and win their conference tournament, they did not get the advantage of getting to play in the East come the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. So they have to travel out west to San Jose if they get that far, where in the Elite Eight they could potentially face Utah. Again, that's a huge advantage in my opinion, just in terms of the ability for their fan bases to travel. I don't think that Duke's fan base won't travel. Duke is, they've got a fan base that notoriously travels, and they've got fans all over the country. So they will have their fans there. But Utah should, they should be down there in droves if they get that far. But it's not going to be an easy road for either team. Mississippi's the three seed. They're an at-large bid out of the SEC. Top 15 in terms of strength of roster. Minnesota's the five seed, 16th in strength of roster this year. So that's a team Duke should be on the lookout for if they get to the Sweet 16. Again, and then you've got some of those mid majors that we talked about. You've got Old Dominion as the seven, VCU as the eight, Loyola Marymount as the nine, Valpo as the 10. So I mean, then you've got Western Michigan as the 12. This is a region that's kind of loaded in terms of mid-major talent, so I'm curious to see if we can get a Cinderella out of one of those teams.
Yeah, and there are some teams that hit their stride at the end of the season too. I think San Diego State was the projected favorite along with UNLV out of the Mountain West, but it turns out that Utah State is the team that came out of that league, so they'll have full momentum ahead of taking on Texas. Western Michigan's been a really consistent program in recent years, getting to the NIT title game, and now they'll have their shot at Minnesota. And then Portland State is another team that has reached the postseason. And they'll have another shot here against Mississippi. So, and those three, and then you combine that with Valparaiso, which has had plenty of success as well, and they'll take on Conference USA's Old Dominion. So, I think this, if you're looking for a region that could have some underdogs from the mid-major level, I think this is one where there are several teams that have quality rosters that maybe have been a bit underwhelming throughout the regular season but are now hitting
Definitely,
their
and yeah,
stride.
it's interesting you mentioned Western Michigan. Yeah, like you said, they made it to the NIT championship last year and lost to Ohio State in an overtime thriller. But they had the 37th strength of roster last year, so this year was actually supposed to be a relative down year compared to last year. But this year they find themselves in the NCAA tournament. They won their conference tournament. They finished the job, and so I'm excited to see what they can do in their first round matchup against Minnesota, and then potentially moving forward from there. So, like you said, a lot of mid-major teams in this region. Looking forward to seeing this one play out as well. So yeah, that kind of does it in terms of the breakdown we have for the bracket. That concludes our bracket reveal. Again, I want to thank you, Eli, for working with me logistically to make this happen. I want to thank Denver's head coach for the idea. And those teams that didn't finish on the right side of the bubble, I'm looking forward to seeing those teams make runs in the NIT and potentially parlay that into success next year and making the NCAA tournament like Western Michigan did.
Yeah, it's a lot of really fun teams and intriguing storylines in this bracket. I think it has a lot of a good mid-major flavor, and you have some really talented teams at the top that can win it all. So it should be a good bracket. I think there are, as you mentioned earlier, it's just a ton of intriguing teams and different storylines to watch. So it should be a good one, and we'll see
And
what
I
happens
just
from
want to
here.
conclude by calling my shot. The Liberty Flames will be making March Madness in season 4. You can book it right now. We're going to be a highly improved team. We're going to finish the job this next season. I'm really excited to see what we can do there. But no, thank you everyone for listening and enjoy your March Madness in October. Before we close, I wanted to give everyone an idea of what's coming up within the Heat Check Sim universe over the next few cycles. As the March Madness bracket was just revealed in this episode, obviously we will learn the results of the tournament over the next few cycles. It'll be the next 4 cycles, actually, concluding with the national champion being crowned on October 16th. Additionally, we will also learn the results of the NIT during this stretch. So, good luck to everyone involved. I'm sure it'll be an exciting tournament, both the NCAA tournament and the NIT. And again, good luck to everyone involved. I'm looking forward to crowning a champion. As a reminder, you can find me on Twitter at HCSimShow. Please feel free to send in comments and questions, and I will do my best to incorporate my responses into future episodes. Thanks for listening, and I'm looking forward to bringing you another episode of the Heat Check Sim Show later next week. See you later.